Real, kind of a funny thing happened when I saw that I was going to be teaching. So I kind of put, kind of funny thing happened on the way to teaching, and that's really what it was. Oftentimes, and some of, if you teach up here so often, you get sometimes the feeling that you don't want to teach. And so, and I knew that that was going to come up on to me as well. And a few weeks ago, I thought, I didn't have anything. I didn't want to share anything. Didn't like anything. I was just in one of those kind of moods. So I was going to meet with Jeff and say, Jeff, I didn't know he was going to, they're gone. They're in California, by the way. So if you need something between now and Tuesday, you can talk to Wayne. He's a good elder. He'll take care of everything. Anyway, but yeah, you have, you know, all the elders here except for Mike and Jeff. Mike is in Alaska, by the way. He wants some prayer because they haven't caught a fish yet. So, yeah, isn't that sad? But they're having a fun time. He and Renee are up there, so that's really good. But anyway, I was going to talk to Jeff and say, you know, take me off the list. I don't want to teach. Put somebody else on there. I often get in these kind of weird, funky moods. It's not really a depression. It's just kind of a, I just don't want to do it. I call it a pity party. Nobody wants to hear anything. I don't have anything to say. I don't have the credentials like Jeff. It's just on and on and on. It's just lies, true lies from the pit of hell. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I still get trapped in hearing those lies. And I didn't have a clue, still didn't even, some time ago, I didn't have a clue what I was going to do, what I was going to say, how I was going to say it. And so I was getting really frustrated as well. I had some ideas, but it just wasn't working out. So that's where I entered into this pity party of woe is me. You know, I'm just going to go eat worms. And so, but oftentimes, and this time was a little worse, I think, that I entered into this kind of a weird season. But I'm starting to come to the understanding and the conclusion that when I start getting pushback, when I start getting this feeling, when I start getting something like this, that I'm on the right track, that I'm hearing these lies, and they're lies that I'm starting to believe because there's something that needs to be told that I believe Satan doesn't want to be heard. So I'm getting better at understanding quicker what these are. But I knew I was kind of on the right track, but that was after my little party of me just not having fun with it. And I had some different directions that I wanted to go. Didn't know really which way, but it's what I wanted to teach on, what I wanted to share. I didn't sit down and say, Lord, what do you want to share? Because I didn't want it to be me. And I know for me, as we walk through this relationship and walk through this journey that we have with God, there always seems to be some topics and some subjects that kind of stand out. Poof. They get your excitement. They get you anticipated. Your heart kind of jumps. If you're sleeping and you hear somebody say something, you all of a sudden wake up. Say, oh, I want to know what he's saying about this. One of those things is when somebody even uses the term Issachar, or tribe of Issachar. I get so excited. And like I say, if I'm asleep back there on the soundstage and Jeff starts talking about Issachar, I'm awake. Because I want to know more about the tribe of Issachar. If you've been part of this body for any time, you have heard for that has been spoken over Evangel being like the tribe of Issachar. I don't know, this probably started 25 years ago that people started saying, you guys are going to be like the tribe of Issachar. And it's exciting to hear when he starts saying Issachar. And I think there's others in our body, when we start using the word Issachar, same thing happens. Your heart maybe takes a little jump and say, oh, I want to hear. And so I started doing a little bit of self-study on Issachar and the tribe and what they did, why they were such a small little band, but they knew the times. They knew what was going on. They heard from the Lord. And it's whenever we hear these things, whenever someone said Issachar, I want to soak more in. I want a key. I want a revelation of what that looks like for evangel. So I've started looking, what does it look like for us? And the Lord keeps on showing me what it looks like. We can look back over the last 20 years and say, yes, Jeff is a great little chief. Chief Tribe Jeffrey. Anyway, he points, he hears, he listens, he goes after, he talks to other churches, he talks to other pastors. And we get this thing of, you know the signs of the time. And so I did, like I say, a lot of self-study over the tribe of Issachar. It's a small tribe, I call it small tribe / family. But it was a small tribe, really small when it came to all the other tribes. They knew the times of what was going on. They spoke with all the other tribes. Some of these other tribes are huge. I mean, Jeff has spoken about it. I'm not going to get into it. But the tribe of Issachar had great favor from God. They had great understanding of God's direction of the times. And all the other tribes around that they had favor with them and respect as well. And they heard and they listened. And that's what you can look at our past. I think if we had a scribe for evangel, you can actually see even a thread in there. And those prophetic words that are being fulfilled right now. It's fun when somebody gives us a prophetic word. And we can witness it. And we can look back and say, wow, that was right on. And I think some of that is just real important. I always get those God bumps when somebody talks about the tribe of Issachar. I just get them. There's just something. There's also some of you that get the same thing, especially when we talk about Issachar. It's like, ooh. So I really hate to burst your bubble. I'm not going to talk about Issachar today. Not going to do it. So what you just heard is what you heard. That's for another teaching. Because there's a lot in there on that. Some of you guys get the feeling when someone starts talking healings, when Lisa was talking about healings, again, same thing, you kind of perk up. You want to know more about those. You want to hear those. Because that's the Holy Spirit really moving. We can go on and on and on of subjects that you just can't get enough information. You yearn for it. So when you hear those words, you perk up. So that was one of the little subjects I thought about talking on. Because that was one of them. But the Lord put me into something else again that he wanted me to bring up. And a lot of times I have been up here and I have really had to argue with God on this. I've been up here to talk about the voice of God. I titled this God Talks. And that's one of those topics. When someone starts talking about how we hear the voice of God or how the voice of God works or any of that, I want to know because I want to hear his voice. I've been a Christian a long time. I've heard his voice audibly once, but I hear it all the time, it seems like. And I get up here, and that's when the Lord was starting to talk to me. It's really captivating when he starts talking to me. So I started going through the excuses of, Lord, why do you want me to talk about this again? I've exhausted this. People know that I love the voice of God. People know that I want to know more about that. And Lord, I'm not qualified. When I started going down that same stupid road of pity me, I'm going to go eat worms. I'm not qualified. I'm not knowledgeable. These are the things I've taught to myself. I've talked too much about hearing you. Everyone already knows how to hear. Everyone already knows, Lord, so why do I need to bring this up again? And that goes on and on and on. It went on. But God is really cool. So a few weeks ago, I got up here and I had a little word, a little snippet. And I gave it, which was really good. And as I was walking back, Dan came up to me. He said, "You have more to say." I said, "Well, of course I do. I have communion tonight or today. So I got more to say when I'm at communion." He said, "No, just five words. You have more to say." I thought, okay, that's cool. And he looked at me. He said, "You have more to say." So I got up on the perch, closed my eyes. "Okay, Lord, what do you have to say?" Dan has been spot on whenever he said something to me. So it's like, "You have more to say, God." I believe what Dan has said. Nothing came to me. Nothing at all. It's like, great. Lord, I know there's something. What is it for someone else in the body? Is it for the body? Is it for someone else? Nothing. The next day, I'm real fortunate. My job takes me all over the Northwest. So I get a lot of butt time on the street from A to B. And there's nothing to do except watch the white line. And it gets so tiring. And so that was basically the next day or the day after. I think I was heading to Tillamook. And that's a great time for the Lord because there's not a whole lot of good radio reception. And I'll podcast something or I'll listen to worship music. But the Lord kept badgering me. It's like, great. He's going to badger me. And he kept on saying, reminding me of Dan's word. It's like, "You have more to say." "Okay, great. That was for yesterday." "No, you have more to say." "No, Lord, that was for yesterday." These arguments that I have with the Lord are really interesting because I always lose, but I still have the arguments. But Dan's word was correct, that I have more to say, and that more to say was for today. Doesn't necessarily mean that whatever we have to say or what we get something from the word, from the Lord, it's going to happen that day. That sometimes is a fallacy of mine. But again, if we go back to Issachar, the prophecies that were said over this body have been happening for 20 plus years. So why do I do that? Because I'm human. So he just kept badgering me and reminding me what Dan had to say. "You have more to say. You have more to say." So I think he wants to speak to some of us today in a way that maybe you've never heard because we've talked about the voice of God. And I think a lot of us, even if we've been walking with the Lord for a long time, we might sit back and say, "He doesn't talk to me." I've been there over the last, since 1980, so that's a long time ago. "He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't talk to me." Maybe you've even asked, "I've never heard the Lord." I don't know. But for someone here today, I think will give you a revelation that will help you hear from God. That's why I think he kept badgering me. "I want you to talk about this again. I'm on the right track. You're getting pushback." I often listen to some politicians in the media and such. And when some politicians are getting a big pushback, some people sit back and say, they're on the right track because they're getting a big pushback. For me, that's kind of what it's like. It's like, okay, the plumb bob hasn't moved since I've started, so that's good. I've looked at it a couple times, so I guess I'm still on the right track. I'm still on alignment. So I want to dig in a little bit on this here. First, I want to pray. Lord, I thank you for your voice. I thank you for being real and loving us where we're at. Lord, let my words be yours. They aren't mine. They're your words. And just be with us. Thank you. Jeff has talked about, and we've seen some videos of TED Talks. They're little snippets, anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. They're usually slideshows. On all kinds of subjects, tons of subjects. And they're kind of interesting. You sit down and just watch this person start spewing something about some subject. And they're really, really good, most of them. When I'm on the road, when I'm sitting, I've deemed those my God talks. Because all of a sudden, he decides to interrupt me. Minding my own business, boom, he comes in. I now know that that at those points, it's time to listen. Because he's going to talk to me. I've come to cherish those times. And sometimes they're just so stinking out in left field. It's like, where did that come from? I would never think that. That's my first clue of, if I would never have thought that, it's probably coming from him. That would be my thing. A lot of times it's just, Patrick, I love you. Okay, great. Thanks, God. Love you too. And let me drive. And he might just pose a question for me to ponder. It sounds kind of weird, kind of, ooh. Patrick is hearing all these voices. In a way, it's that way. And the way he talks to me is going to be completely different than the way he talks to every one of you. And this is the way he talks to me. And so, and it just enters into this dialogue. Some kind of a question he'll throw out there. It makes me have to think. It makes me have to, I can't read the Bible when I'm driving. It's really difficult. I've tried. I lose my place. You just can't do it. And I don't recommend trying that. I've even done it on my phone and kind of scrolled through because it sits right on my dash, and that's still not good. No police in here, so that's okay. But don't try it. One of the questions a couple weeks ago, well, more than that, and a lot of times it comes after a song or a thought. For some reason, I either heard a song or someone say about Jesus being the shepherd and leaving the 99 for the one. We've heard stories, we've heard the song. And so I was, again, minding my own business. And as elders, we can say we are shepherds as well, kind of looking over the body of evangel, as well as our families and such. And he asked me this one question, Patrick, are you a shepherd or are you the one sheep? I thought that was an interesting question. Am I that one sheep or am I a shepherd? Well, Lord, people said I'm a shepherd, and you've placed me into a leadership position in evangel, so I guess I'm a shepherd. And here's this dialogue going back and forth. Are you sure? Yes. Why aren't you a sheep? So all day long it was going like that, back and forth. And there's times I have to stop, talk to a customer, go in. And it's really kind of interesting because I'll go in, and it's almost separating myself from a conversation I'm having with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm having a conversation with this guy that's having an issue. I get back in my truck, start driving. It just starts right back up again. Those are the times I know they're kind of important. So after basically almost all day long, I got the answer to what I was. Because I wanted, and I said, is this the answer? Because a lot of times there is an answer. A lot of times there is not. There's just a pondering thing. And that answer was, well, I'm not going to tell you what the answer was. No. But I will challenge you guys at some point, ask yourselves, are you the sheep, the one sheep, or are you the shepherd? Just kind of see where you go with that. See what the Lord says about that. Because it's really kind of cool. See where it goes. So does God speak to us today? Yeah, I heard a couple of people saying they had, yep. Every believer can hear the voice of our Father. Everyone. If you are a believer, you can do that. Why? Short answer on this one. Because we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. When God speaks to us, he speaks to our spirit. That's who he's speaking to. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's like, oh, of course. That's where it is. Hebrews. It's kind of cool. I'm starting to go through this book again. It's called the Bible. It's also on my computer. But this is really good. A thing you can hold. But I'm going to go into Hebrews real fast if I can get find it. Hebrews 13:8. I marked them, but I didn't mark them well. These little taggies are good. But Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a verse that I've always liked. It's a verse that tells me that he is always there, that he will never not be there, that whatever happened back here can happen today and will probably happen in the future as well. The word tells us that we're going to do even greater things than what we've been reading here, and even greater things than he did. That's going to be amazing, because I think raising someone from the dead is a pretty great thing. That's ranks up there pretty high in me. But if this is true, we should be able to hear him just as Moses did. Maybe it's going to come out of a burning bush. Maybe not. But Moses heard from God. So if this is true, we should be able to hear that voice that Moses did. Same thing with Jonah. Jonah decided he didn't want to hear, but he was forced to hear when he was in the belly of a stinking whale. Literally. But we should be able to hear that same voice. Samuel. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. Noah. Same voice. We should be able to hear that. Mr. Issachar. If this is true, especially over this body, we should be able to have that, hear that voice from the Holy Spirit. Our God is a living God who hears, sees, and speaks. We know that. We know he's a living God. Do we know how to listen? That, I think, is a crux. A lot of it is for me as well. Is it possible that he's speaking to me and I have no clue that he's speaking to me? All the time. It sounds like I have this dialogue every day with God and this talk, communicate, and I don't, but I know he talks to me all the time, and I have no clue that it is him, or I don't want to know that it's him. I don't want to know. In 1 Samuel, I'll go back to 1 Samuel, I'm going to read this, because I thought it was quite good. Once I find Samuel. See, I didn't mark it right. So 1 Samuel 1:3-11. And like I say, I'm reading out of the Bible, not off this here. Because the Bible is true. Not that that isn't, but it says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli back here. And when you have elders and you had these people like Eli, and they were getting elderly and old, they get these little assistants. And little Samuel was Eli's. Now in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Poor guy woke Eli up. I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up, went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Poor Eli, he's old, needs to sleep. I didn't call you, my son, Eli said, go back to bed. Samuel, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up, went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go, lie down again, and if someone calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. The Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. So the Lord started talking to him. Samuel had a relationship with Eli. That's one of the things he thought Eli was calling him, because he had this relationship. Samuel didn't have a clue. Not a clue that it was the Lord that was speaking, until he was told by Eli. He believed Eli because, again, that relationship that he had. From that time on, when the Lord spoke, Samuel knew the voice of God. He knew exactly how it sounded. We can go further and further into Samuel. You guys have all heard God talked to him a lot. And he knew that voice. We need to hear what that voice sounds like to us. Just as Samuel needed to hear it, we need to hear it. If you are a sarcastic person, the Lord might talk to you in sarcasm. He might. If you are super serious, my guess is he's going to talk to you in a way that you're going to understand. You are going to understand his voice. We need to hear what his voice sounds like to us. It's different to Jim than it is to me, to Jeff than it is to me, to Cindy than it is to Jeannie. It's different. The only way we're going to know what that voice sounds like to us is having that relationship with him, an intimate time with him. We need to understand that voice. Even though I've been a Christian for a long time, I went on this earlier. There are times where I sit back and say, God isn't speaking to me. Which, maybe he isn't. But my history tells me he is. And it might be because, for some reason, I don't recognize his voice anymore. Have I gotten distance from him? Am I not in the Word where he speaks a lot? Something is out of alignment that I don't understand. Something is. God does not need reason to interrupt our day. If you're doing something that you think is super productive and it's super important and this and that, he can and probably will interrupt you. It's his prerogative. It's what are we going to do with that interruption? What are we going to do? Might be just to say I love you. Might be just to put his arms around you, depending on where you're at. Maybe it's a teaching moment. I've had plenty of those when I'm driving. If a name pops into your head randomly, it's probably a good idea to pray for that person. It probably is, especially if one that you haven't heard from or seen for years. So it's time to intercede. We just need to listen. So how does he speak to us? First and foremost, we have to be really aware of something. Really aware. We've had people up here for 25 years speaking words of prophecy over us. We've been in lines up here and had people come and put hands and speak words of prophecy into us, speak words of knowledge. We've had all that. But we have to be aware of a couple things. One specifically. However God chooses to speak to us, whether it's through person, whether it's through your mind, however that is, it will not contradict the Bible at all. This is the truth right here. That's why we need to know this. One of the reasons we need to know this. I am really, really poor at knowing this. I know that it's in here, somewhere between this cover and that cover, because I've read it, and someone might have said it that I trust and believe, but I don't know where the address is. I envy, although envy is a bad word. I envy you. If you can start reeling off scriptures and know this stuff, that is awesome. I wish I had that. I don't know if it's even a gift. When Renee can get up here and cite a whole chapter, holy smokes, that's awesome. I have to struggle. The concordance was made for me. Google was made for me, so I can go and look. But we have to know this. I was reading a story of as an example, and I've heard this, and I said, nah, that can't be. But years ago, an old-time prophet, years ago probably meaning within the last 50, 60 years, there has been a real abuse of it. I had read a story of a prophet, I don't know his name, but he told a husband and wife that they had to divorce and that she was going to go away to do a mission trip. From what I know of this, that contradicts what this says. If it's something like that or something worse, it's good to go into the book, but you might want to make a redial to God. Say, God, are you sure? Because you might be on a party line with somebody else besides God. Because it happens. That's something we have to be aware of. It took me a while, myself personally, to be aware of the contradiction part of it. In Isaiah, let's go into Isaiah real quick. Let's see where everybody's at. Right down here. I got these neat little tabs on this Bible, which is really kind of cool. I like them. Isaiah 28:23 said, listen to me. Listen and pay close attention. He's saying, pay close attention. He wants us to pay attention to things around us. He speaks to us in so many different ways. For some of us, you get visions. For some of you that are really artistic, you get that kind of a thing. I'm not artistic at all. But it's neat seeing how that works. One of the ways he can speak to us is through creation. Tammy and I sometimes will go out in a hot tub at night and look, especially during the wintertime, and look up at the stars. Amazing how you can just sit there and take for granted the creation around us and what the Lord, how he can speak through that. The Grand Canyon, it was years, I was a little child when I went to the Grand Canyon, but I can still remember some of those. Creation that he speaks through. I love seeing Kim's posts when she walks around the lake and she sees pictures, she takes pictures on Facebook. I'm a Facebooker. I don't think it's evil, if done correctly. But Kim will take a picture, because she's in God's creation. Whether it's two doves flying around, or two eagles, or the trees, she's hearing God through what he has created. It's amazing. And she has no qualms putting that on Facebook. None. In Romans, find my Romans. See, again, I don't like my little tabs that I didn't do right. Romans 8:28. If I get there. Romans 8:28 reads, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Another way God is going to speak to us is through events that happen in our lives. They just are. God created those events. The events in our everyday life. Somebody we walk up to it at the grocery store, or anything like that. I mean, it's just, he did that. These are everyday events. He speaks to us through the blessings. Blessings is showing us his love. Look at how he spoke to Job. Poor Job. The first two-thirds of Job, oh, it was bad. Bad, bad, bad. But the last three chapters, Job got all kinds of blessings, didn't he? Lots more cows. Lots more pigs, lots more livestock, lots more family, and lots more kids. He got some blessings. Mary, Imagine that. If she tuned out from God's voice, what a God blessing. I mean, it's just amazing. When something good happens to me, and I can give all kinds of examples of people coming and giving me money for a trip or giving us, blessing us for whatever reason or anything, I have to realize that more likely God spoke that to somebody to do, and I have to thank God for that. It isn't just happenstance. God spoke to somebody and somebody did what they were supposed to do. I just need to say thank you to God. Trials. We've all gone through trials. But it's trying to decipher, what are you trying to teach me through trials? Trials are easier to decipher through what God is talking to you about than pain. Pain is one of those ways he's going to speak to you. I'm actually kind of going through this right now. Lost my dad some years ago, and so it was just mom. And mom and my two older brothers and younger sister, so there's five of us. So we have mom in a home right now, and we went a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we went up camping and up by where she's at, which is up in the gorge. And we went to see her, and she doesn't know me. That's pretty painful. When I know, even my brothers would tell me, that I was the favorite for her. Yes, moms and dads have favorites. If you're a child, yes, they do. But it was really painful. So how, God, are you trying to talk to me through this? I don't understand it. Trial I can understand. Some of you are probably going through some of the same things. Dementia is horrid. It's just horrid. But that's a painful part of my life right now that I'm trying to figure out, what are you trying to say? I haven't heard anything yet. I'm sure that will come through. Finally come to the conclusion of those times, trials, painfulness, is sit back and ask, is there something you're trying to say that I'm not listening to? Am I supposed to do X or am I supposed to do Y? Am I supposed to spend time with my brothers that I don't really care for, or one of them? It doesn't matter. It's just, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? In Timothy, let me go find Timothy here. Timothy 3:16. Second Timothy, sorry. Teeny little book. Teeny, teeny little book. All scripture is inspired by God. It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do right. All scripture, all means all. You guys have heard me say that. All doesn't mean all for you, except not that person. All is all. All scripture is God-breathed. That's why I have to know this word. That's why I have to know what he's saying in here. Because I want to know when it's a contradiction and not. There is sometimes I use this nice leather covered Bible as a paperweight. It just sits there doing nothing. For me, I have to get off here and get more into here. It's just something that I have to realize. This is his word. This is his living word. One of my favorites, another way, one of my favorites is stillness or silence. Oh, there's been times when TryHop first opened down here, I would come down here late at night. Nobody was here. And I might put on a little bit of music and lay down over in that wall somewhere. That's kind of my spot. And just be silent. Just this building makes it really difficult because this building is alive. It makes noises when you're in here by yourself, and they're creepy noises. But it's still silence. He speaks so softly that we're forced to listen intently. Intently. Back in Kings, I'm jumping all over. Back in Kings, this is really cool. Kings 19:12. Actually, I'm going to read a little bit further on that. This is when the Lord was speaking to Elijah. Remember, he's speaking. He says, "But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' Elijah replied, 'I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty. But the people of Israel has broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.'" Yeah. "Go out," here's what the Lord said, "go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him, and Elisha stood there. The Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. How, if the Lord is going to speak in a gentle whisper, we have to close things off. Hear the stuff all around us, the stuff that's going on. It can be chaos, but he's still going to speak, and we need to hear that. Sometimes we just need to shh and just be quiet because he'll speak. And one of the last ones is he'll speak through his son. Jesus is going to show us his father. That's what he's going to do. He's going to show us that. It says in the word, "If you've seen me, you have seen my father." We need to know the son so intimately. So intimately, because we need to know the Father and know his voice. As we're entering into these final days, and I believe with all my heart that we are in the final days, one of the things the Lord told me, the audible thing, I taught to at the very beginning, and I've said this before, is when I first became a Christian, the next day I was out on this point where God had created. It was beautiful. It was in Canada. And I heard the audible voice, "You will see me before you die." Had no clue what that meant because I just became a Christian. What does that mean? But if that's true, and that's something I've been holding on to since 1980, I'm 52. I could live till I'm 72, 75. If I'm lucky, 82. So within 30 years, I have, okay. Thank you. Word from the Lord right there. I will take that. But so I will see him. I mean, if that is true, and I do believe it, I will see him. So are we in the final days? I think a lot of us can say, yes, we are in the final days. But if we are in the final days, we're going to have a voice from a myriad of his people. Myriad meaning everybody. Everyone that has a relationship, we're going to have that. If we are, and you consider, and we consider ourselves evangel, and we grab hold of those prophecies of the tribe of Issachar, it wasn't just Mr. Issachar that had the words. It was his sons. It was the family that had the words. Because God didn't speak to just him. He spoke to the family. So if we're going to be that, and we're going to walk in that prophetic word that's been given to us, we need everyone's voices. We need those voices. We need those voices. We've heard so many great things on Sundays when people come up and grab this mic. Those are the voices that the Lord is saying. Our Father is talking to us today. He's going to continue to talk. He's not going to stop. But are we listening? In Hebrews, back to Hebrews. And get back there. Good. Hebrews 3:7-8. It reads, "This is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. I have been guilty of that. When I have heard his voice, I said, no, I don't want to hear that. Don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. Today, when you hear his heart." They were tested in the wilderness, and they continued to hear his heart as well. If we're going to walk in this calling, Evangel, we need voices. It can't come from just Jeff. It can't. His voice is good. And it's right on. But we need everyone's voice that has that. And we need to make sure it aligns with this. I've heard that people say, you know, I think it's even in the scriptures that it could be a two-edged sword. And I've seen voices hurt other people. And it hurts me when I see that. But for me, I have to go back to, if it does not contradict, if it's in contradiction to the word, then there's a problem. And I don't have to accept that. I don't have to accept that word. We don't have to. If someone comes up here and says something and it's completely opposite of the word, we don't have to accept it. Then it's up to Jeff to go and tell them that that's wrong. Because he's Mr. Issachar. No. Because, I mean, it's just something that we have to do. So over the next week or two or however long, if you have not heard the Lord, know that you actually have. But look for those things. Ask him, what are you showing me? What are you showing me? Josiah has a job. He's out in creation all the time, destroying trees, just like Rick did and Mike did. Ooh, awesome. But even during that time, the Lord is going to speak to him. And he probably does, often. Because a lot of times, Josiah is all by his lonesome out there. Him, his machine, and God. Are we going to listen? But if you haven't heard, or you don't think you've heard, spend time with him. Maybe it's time to just be quiet. Maybe it's time to walk around the lake as Kim does. I don't know. That voice is going to be different to everyone. It really is. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a living God. We thank you for what you've given us and the visions, the signs, the wonders, and your voice. The voice that you are speaking to us. You are the living God. You are. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day tomorrow. It's going to be nice today and tomorrow. A day off for Galen. That's awesome. And Jeff will be back on Tuesday. Don't forget of our hosting his presence on Tuesday. Have a good day.